In Seattle, the city's trying to find solutions to reduce the amount of human waste that winds up outside. David Jones is the city auditor, and he's investigated what Seattle is doing to tackle the problem.
And what we found in the course of doing our audit work was that there were only 6 bathrooms in the entire city of Seattle that were funded by the city that were open 24/7.
2 of those bathrooms are at Green Lake, and they're in pretty good shape, but the other public toilets are often unusable.
They often were dirty, had needles in them, and actually sometimes people would camp out in them, which made it difficult to go in and clean them. And also what we found out, I know, like in Lake City when we did our field work there, you know, you could see fecal matter in the area around it, that people obviously weren't able to go there and use it for whatever reason.
As Seattle looks to clean up its mess, the auditor's office says we should check out what San Francisco is doing. That city has also long struggled with keeping its public toilets usable. These days, they invest $5 million a year maintaining those toilets. And according to Seattle's auditor, they've had quite a bit of success. Rachel Gordon is a spokeswoman for San Francisco's Public Works Department. She told me that back in 2014, city officials decided to take on the problem of human waste in public after hearing complaints from students.
There were some kids from a school called the DeMarillac Academy, which is really targeted for inner city kids. And they were asked, well, what do you want in this budget? And they didn't hesitate. They didn't miss a beat. And they said, what we want is to be able to walk to and from school without having to worry about stepping in human waste, stepping through urine, stepping around feces. That's how they navigate getting to school. So that afternoon, we came back to our offices at City Hall for Public Works and thought, what is it we could do to make sure that there are places for people to go to the bathroom?
So my sense is that, like Seattle, or probably even before Seattle, in the early aughts in particular, that San Francisco tackled this problem in a large part through kind of engineering, elaborately designed public restrooms that cleaned themselves, that were lockable, that sort of tried to answer with design a lot of these problems. Is that correct? And how did that go?
It's somewhat correct. So it's more than 20 years ago now that J.C. Decaux, which is the French public furniture company, came into town and provided 25 of these kind of, at the time, high-tech self-cleaning toilets in largely tourist areas in downtown, but also in some other areas. So those toilets worked quite well for a long time, but they started to get abused, frankly, and we started to see that as time went on, that some of the areas, again, talking about, they were used for the wrong purposes, drug dealing, drug use, prostitution. Some of them were even being used for makeshift tents or encampments. So we really started to think about what we could do to make toilets be used as toilets again. And it's a very, very simple thing, and that's to have an attendant there. What makes a pit stop, that's what we named our program, San Francisco Pit Stop. What makes a pit stop is that there's staffing there, and that has made all the difference in the world.
So who is it that staffs these bathrooms, and what kind of training do they get? And what does that look like?
The folks are generally lifers, people who are coming out of prison. It's either state or federal prison after 15, 20, 25 years. This is their first job that they've had coming out of prison. These are people who have been pretty hardcore criminals in their early lives. A lot of them had been involved in gangs. They've been involved in drug use and drug dealing. They've given their time. They deserve a break to come back and be contributing members of society. And that's what they've shown. So the training they get is, you know, show up on time, look presentable. They do have uniforms. They all have Narcan, which is a way that you can revive someone quickly after an overdose. They've been trained how to use that. And on many occasions in San Francisco, they've done that, not just for the people who are using the pit stops who might have overdosed inside, but really for a lot of the people outside of the pit stops, because they're in these very challenging neighborhoods where there's a lot of open drug use. And so they've always stepped up. The attendant will also go in after each use and make sure that the bathroom's looking pretty good. So we want to make sure that there's soap in the sink, that the sink is wiped down, that there's not garbage left on the floor. We've had an incredible track record with these people.
Yeah, and do you find that the attendants make the bathrooms more welcoming? I mean, do they ever personalize them or do anything
It's really, so the attendants are a couple of things about them. They really take ownership in the pit stops. They want to make sure they're clean. We've had some attendants who have put potted plants in their pit stops, who make sure there's air freshener available, who have, there's not only soap in there, but they may have other hand sanitation things or nice towels there. We talked to one woman who said that after using the pit stop, it was the first time in many, many years since she was a girl, she said, and she was in her 30s, I believe, and homeless for many years. It's the first time she really felt kind of being home, that she felt safe and comfortable being in a bathroom. You know, we've had not only are the potted plants, some of the attendants have brought in magazines or newspapers. We don't want people to stay in there to read all the sections of a newspaper, but we want them to just be able to be human again. It's a cliche to say, but to be able to go to the bathroom with dignity. If we look at the data of where people have been relieving themselves, that's not in a toilet. It's often between parked cars, it's in doorways, it's in darkened parking garages or parking lots. It's places where people can't be seen. The pit stop program is a way to let people kind of take care of their personal business in an appropriate place. When you talk about costs, there certainly are costs involved. With limited hours, they're not open 24 hours right now, costs on average about $200,000 a year per bathroom. That is a cost there, but then you have to think what kind of cost savings there may be.
And so how do you judge success then? What is the threshold for saying that this is worth it?
So there are a couple of ways to judge success. We calculate, although they're not open, again, 24 hours a day, but if you average out the use over 24 hours, a pit stop is used about every 2 minutes in San Francisco. We just hit our 1 millionth flush last fall, and we see a steady increase in the usage of all the toilets in San Francisco. There was one near City Hall in particular that just really blew our minds, that it was getting about 500 uses a month prior to it being staffed, and we've gone as high as 5,000 uses a month. More or less, it's usually around 2,500 to 3,000. It's really important to note that these toilets are really for use by everybody. It's not just people who are unhoused who are using them, but we've got the Uber and Lyft drivers. We have school groups. The one toilet I talked to you about near City Hall, there's a farmer's market there twice a week, and they were pleading for help from both the customers and the vendors who needed somewhere to go, particularly on a Sunday when the civic buildings around there are closed.
So what would you say the most important and most compelling lessons are from San Francisco's experience that could be applied to a place like Seattle?
So I think there are a few things that need to be done. One is to have it driven by data. We wanted to put the pit stops where they were being used most. And for us, the data we used were steam cleaning requests. And we can break down our steam cleaning requests. We don't break it down between dog and human feces, but if there's feces on the ground and someone calls our 311 customer service center, we will go and respond. We prioritize those calls.
So do you find that this pit stop approach solves the problem? And if not, what are the shortcomings? What are the challenges that remain?
Yeah, certainly it's not solving the problem. We still have a problem in San Francisco, as I think a lot of urban America does, with people relieving themselves in public places where they shouldn't be doing that. We've had a number of times when we've seen people who will pull down their pants and either pee or poop, you know, half a block or a block away from a pit stop when it's available for use. As long as we're going to have mental illness, as long as we have drug and substance abuse problems and people may not be quite aware of how to behave civilly, just because you have a public toilet there doesn't mean that people are automatically going to be using it, but at least that tool is available to them. They have that option to use a toilet where they may not have had it before.